The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Show, and I am your host, Dr. Agathe Pierre-Louis. And I am a clinical psychologist, and this show is about everything relating to psychology and how it shows up in our lives. So I want to welcome all of you. Thank you again for listening. Today we have a wonderful show. I'm really excited, but I'm more excited of the weather. Like, my goodness, it's a beautiful day today, and we are set to have a beautiful weekend. So hopefully you're making plans to get out and enjoy the cool air and really get into the spring of it all. I mean, it really helps us a lot with just feeling so good and being able to get out and exercise and spend time with our families. So there's different sources that are telling us that things are changing for us. We're able to maybe experience more enjoyable time with our family members without mask. And so I know all of you have heard the news with regard to CDC. So that's all of that. I just want to say that I'm glad that things are just moving along and we are beginning to see a greater light, not only the sunshine, but the tunnel that we've been in for the past year and a half, 2 years. So hooray for that. As you know, I want you all to be part of the conversation today. I'm going to be addressing a topic that I've had a lot of emails from people saying that, why don't you address this topic? And I know that it is a pretty hot topic, so I'll just kind of give you, let you wait for a second before I share this with you. It is really cool to be able to address this on a lens that maybe others are not doing so. But before we do that, I do want to share with you a little bit of the health tip that I have for today. Of course, I want you to double check with your medical providers with anything that I share here. I am a clinical psychologist, not a medical provider. So here we are. Today, we are going to be talking about mushrooms. Mushrooms are a good source of biotin, which helps with your skin, hair, and nails look healthy. What do you put in your mushrooms? I usually like to saute them. I love portobello mushrooms. I chop them up, saute them. Here's this. Now I'm suddenly going to give you a recipe. Here we go. Like, ready? Pretty simple, right? I have crushed garlic with olive oil. And then after that, I will then saute the, by the way, I am just a regular mom. So if there's any chef listening and I'm doing this wrong, sure, email me, let me know. So I saute my garlic and I throw in the mushroom and then I toss salt and pepper and I let it cook and then that's it. It's like the best. So here we are. It has biotin for hair, nails, and skin. So good luck on that one. This is another component that I use in every type of recipe that I use, mostly every. And if there's no garlic at home, there's no food to be made. And so did you know this? Black garlic has 2 times the antioxidant levels of white garlic. It is also toxic to 14 types of cancers and has powerful healing benefits. So those are the health tips for you. I don't use black garlic. I have no clue how to get them. So again, if anyone wants to share that information, please do so. I usually use the white ones or maybe roast them. So that's all I have for you for the health tips. Of course, if you want to be part of the conversation, do so. Send us a text 845-328-0886. Again, it is 845-328-0886. And of course, email me if you choose to, dr.louisradio@gmail.com. dr.louisradio@gmail.com. All right, so we are going to get into it. Today, my question for you is, are you in a relationship with a narcissist? You know, the word narcissist is like the hottest topic, right? The hottest word that people are always referencing to. It's like everyone has their degree to diagnose people, right? And they are saying it with much confidence. This person's such a narcissist. And in some way, they may be true, right? Because all of us are, you know, are Google doctors in some way, shape, or form. But it is a term that's normally thrown out freely these days. And it seems like everyone's married to one, they're dating one, they're working with one. And these narcissists seems to be everywhere. But the truth of the matter is actually only 1% of people in our population are really truly have the narcissistic personality disorder, right? Which is where most clinicians, psych clinicians, social workers, licensed social workers, really from our DSM, our little Bible that we kind of use to reference and to diagnose people. And so really NPD is in a particular cluster for personality disorders. And it talks about it being like a pervasive pattern of behavior, the way they interact the world, the way they see themselves. So really, when we're referring to people who are narcissists, we're talking about people having narcissistic traits, which then really talks about people sometimes have them on and off. They use them. Some people are somewhat more of a chameleon in how they show up in a very narcissistic trait. And so that's what you're referring to. So that's just the first nugget in terms of determining the difference between someone who has narcissistic personality disorders that's a little bit more ingrained, unchanging, really resolute in the way they are. And it's really around trauma. And then there are people who have narcissistic traits, which we see all the time. And people sometimes are able to adjust those as they show up. Now, I have to tell you this, though. You may not know this, but we all have a narcissistic perspective. And we are all should try at least to have a healthy narcissism versus the unhealthy narcissism, which is what people normally referring to. So what's healthy narcissism? Well, I got to tell you, this is what I encourage every time someone sits across from me in therapy. I am trying to have you work on seeing yourself through strengths, talents, recognizing them, feeling really proud of yourself, liking who you see in the mirror. That's one thing I've been asking people recently. I'm like, do you like him? They're like, who are you referring to? Yes, I am speaking about you in the third degree, the third person. Do you like her? And so the goal is always in therapy for us to have a healthy narcissism. And the parts that we are always concerned about is that unhealthy narcissism that shows up in our interactions with other people. So where did this idea come from, right? You know, of course, I have to give you a little bit of history with regards to the father of psychology, which is Sigmund Freud. I'm not sure if you noticed, but kids are actually narcissistic. They are. It's primary narcissism. It's a primitive, self-centered perspective that they have and that they don't really see themselves separating from other people. People are just there in their service. So kids are narcissistic and they're supposed to because that is the journey into from infanthood, childhood, adolescence, and then to adulthood. The problem, again, ends up when we are engaging in adult relationships and these particular traits show up and they're not leaving. And so here we are. So Freud says that basically this is a normal road for normal, healthy adulthood. And the exaggerated narcissism that we see, the traits, is because of a healthy narcissism that's been exaggerated over time. And then there's another researcher, you know, after Freud, her name is Karen Horney. She believes that narcissistic personality is caused by a particular parenting style, which I definitely agree with. And it comes up from people having an excessive, overvalued sense of self. So the parents usually will then overabundantly give a child a lot of attention, telling them how wonderful and special they are, and giving them an abnormal amount of traits with regards to praise and validation, how great that they are. And so there's an overabundance. And then narcissism traits or personality disorder can come from not having enough, where we talked about having emotional deprivation, not having, and people feeling rejected and abandoned all the time. And so you could have the extreme of either or could lead someone now to have a narcissistic personality disorder or a particular trait. And so here's that. And then there's another theorist that's named Otto Kernberg, and he talks about narcissism is having like a false pretense, a front, in order to protect yourself. So ultimately, the person really doesn't feel good about themselves at all, which we probably could tell if you really pay attention. And here's what they do. They're in overabundance. They're doing too much in order for now for them to seek validation, for now people to now prop them up. And so they're doing everything that they can in order for them to now have their self-esteem being fed by other people. And sometimes it comes down from them putting other people down and really pressing and focusing on other people's concerns in highlighting and boasting about them. So that is the beginning of our conversation. If you know anyone who's in a relationship with narcissists, get them on here for them to be able to listen. We have so much more information to share. I always say we. Who am I talking to? I guess you and I, yeah? Rich is the engineer, so I guess he and I are doing the show together, and that's the we. We have a lot more in store for you. Stay tuned on the Mind, Body, and Spirit Show.
Dr. Agathe Pierre-Louis is one of the top clinical psychologists in Orange County, and she will be your guide to healing and creating a positive relationship with family, friends, and coworkers. Confusion and emotional difficulty with self-esteem, parenting, or moving forward? Then contact Dr. Pierre-Louis, who will guide you in making the right decisions to build a life healthy in mind, body, and spirit. To make an appointment or for more information, visit byembracetherapy.com.
Hi, this is John Tesh. Tune in for great music and intelligence for your life on weekdays at 1 p.m. as we assemble the tips, the facts, and the news you need to be happier, healthier, more lovable, and more fun to be around. Radio worth listening to.
We put the intelligence out there. You decide what to do with it.
Hi, this is Mike Sweeten, supervisor of the town of Warwick, with
Tony Cardone, supervisor of the town of Monroe.
And please join us every Tuesday at 9 a.m. for the roundtable here on WTBQ and WGHD.
Radio worth listening to. WTBQ.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Show. I am your host, Dr. Agathe Pierre-Louis, and we are addressing narcissism today. And I had asked right before we went to the commercial to invite friends and families who know, may have dealt, or currently may be in a relationship with someone who's a narcissist or has narcissistic traits, and to really be able to give them some information. So we have a lot to address today. I'm going to identify the different types of narcissists that we have available. Normally people are kind of like putting them all in one category, but there are subsets in how they show up and they interact. Although the motivation for all four that I'm going to identify today is really for their own well-being. So the motivation is for their well-being, for what works for them, but how they show up and how they interact can be a little bit tricky. And so it's really important to do that. I mean, dealing with people who have these particular traits are extremely challenging. And so we have to be careful. And sometimes they are our parents. Sometimes they are our husbands, our wives, our children. And so we really have to be mindful, and our partners as well too. And sometimes they are our bosses. And so again, these people are in our lives and we love and care for them, but we do have to be careful on how we interact in order to protect ourselves. So with regards to unhealthy narcissism, again, I was saying that we all have a healthy dose of narcissism. If you don't have it, it's really important for you to do, because in that way you see yourself in a positive light. That's really healthy. And in therapy, I really encourage, and all of us really, every clinician, that's part of our job, right? To be able to boost someone's ego and have them have a healthy sense of ego. And generally though, unhealthy narcissism talks about where the person has a grandiose, right, inflated sense of self. We see some arrogance, a strong sense of entitlement, an ability where they could abuse and exploit others, and without feeling guilt or shame, lack of respect for authority, a constant need for admiration and validation, and little to no empathy for others. I mean, it's been said that they have no ability to self-reflect. I would say that maybe more so around someone who has personality disorder, and for those who have the traits, have the ability, and there is some conscious or conscious process that's happening. You know, I usually say this, if someone puts their hand on the stove and they continue doing that, right? So sadistic in some way, but it's working for you. Because if you keep repeating the same behavior over and over again, whether you are someone who exhibits the narcissistic traits or the victim, we do have to assess what's happening. And I say that not in a very unempathetic manner, because victims are not saying, oh, it's working for me. But in psychologically, there is something there that's keeping you in this circumstance, whatever its relationship, and really learning and breaking it. So that's what I mean when it's working for you, but not working for you in terms of it's beneficial and it's like it makes you happy and you feel golden. That's not what I'm referring to. So to go into now the four types of narcissists, we normally notice folks who are pretty grandiose, right? They are the ones who are very familiar, where they really enjoy having that interaction with other people. They're the life of the party. They really pull people in. They have lots of friends, and they're really seeking external validation from others in order to make themselves feel better. And so they're really over the top. And then you have the people who are antisocial narcissists, and they are maybe very extremely self-centered in some respect, and there's sometimes difficulty to get along with, and they exploit relationships to their benefits, but they really pull into themselves and try to have this very small experience with regards to, right, talking about the antisocial component of it. But again, their use and interaction with other people are very much around meeting their own self needs. And so you have people who are now a pro-social narcissist, and they really get a lot of credit from, like, you know, positive accomplishments. They strive to do good in public, and which is really where that's like, wait a minute. But they seem to have a good heart. So they try to do good in public. But then that's what it is. They're doing good in order to get accolades. And that now leads them to be able to have that validation that they very much need. And then you have the vulnerable narcissist. Those are the folks who they are less obvious, and it's folks who you kind of need to watch out for because it's kind of like under the radar. They are really self-absorbed. They are still seeking attention, but they do it in a very covert way. Sometimes it's victimization, like, oh, nobody loves me. Nobody wants me. You know, how come they treat me this way? They're always the victim in some way. And so they use that. And then they, you know, sometimes are prone to depression, but in using that depression, they use that as a way for them to obtain power and control. So we really have to be careful around folks who are that vulnerable narcissist. They are easily wounded, but they show their woundedness. They show that versus people who may have a grandiose or antisocial perspective of how they show their narcissism. They're not showing their wound. They actually are pulling themselves up, pretending everything's okay. But underneath, though, we know that their sense of self is inflated, and it's not really truly true and powerful as it needs to be. So we have to really be careful of these four types and not really focus on the ones that we know are maybe the grandiose or the pro-social narcissist. So here we are. Those are the folks that we have to be careful about. So how does this come about? How is this personality is developed? I talked about, you know, your parents and how that shows up. I have to tell you, people who do engage in having a narcissist in their relationships, you know, sometimes the narcissist may have come from a home where there is a narcissistic parent or both or one. And sometimes, which we'll talk about, the victim, sometimes they themselves have come from homes in which they themselves have experienced parents who are narcissists. And so now they're kind of repeating the same patterns and trying to rewrite history, but not necessarily doing it in an successful manner. A couple of years ago, before the word term narcissistic personality disorders came to be, we would look at these particular characteristics through domestic violence lens or dating violence lens, where this particular person is, you know, have pretty weak ego, but they're not showing it, and they're now in their relationship with other people. In order for them to feel good about themselves, they then obtain power and control. And that is, you know, sometimes when people say that, I think it's just another word for saying someone is could be an abuser based on, you know, the relationships and how dysfunctional it could be. And so we have to just know that oftentimes when we're talking about someone who is in a dating violence abuse relationship, that person likely have that narcissistic trait involved. And so that is something for you to just be aware of. Now, coming from a home where a person may have a parent who is a narcissist, this is a term that's not normally talked about, where someone is narcissistically defended. What does that mean? Well, essentially it means that the person who has had a parent who is a narcissist, they're raised in a home where they have that experience, they're not very intentional to now be careful not to be the limelight. So they're so defended, or having been so offended, they're not defending from not being a narcissist. And so they always put other people first. They're always concerned about other people's well-beings, what they think of them. And so because of that, though, that may put them at a sense where they now could possibly be a victim. So someone who is narcissistically defended is really someone who's just trying as much as they can to now not have those personalities and run away from it as much as possible. They become really worrisome to have those traits. They become really hypervigilant and trying to focus on anyone else but themselves. But you have to be careful, because then as a giver, you then now become vulnerable to repeating the same pattern. You're trying not to be like your father or like your mother, and then you find yourself marrying someone who is exactly that, because the personalities that you present are someone that narcissists usually tend to connect with. So if you are in a home where there's a parent that is a narcissist, sometimes there's this concept where favoritism is actually a component that is used. They are sometimes an identified golden child, and where that child sometimes have privileges over others, and where other people's feelings are dismissed, but that golden child gets really all of the attention. But there is this reinforcing factor, is that if this child is getting all the attention and the other kids or other people in the home are not getting attention, what's happening? That golden child now has this pressure to be perfectionist, has a pressure to be this particular way always in order to maintain that attention. And so there's that fear. And so in some way, there's this reinforcement to always now try to be a people pleaser, try to look good, be obedient to the parent. By the way, that is good. But if there is a sense where you can't be anything but that, where a child, you know, tests waters, if there's that particular extreme experience, you then have to be mindful that is this what's happening. And sometimes the parents will intentionally call the child out and say, you're my golden child, and then this person is maybe the bad apple, or maybe the black sheep. And it's kind of called splitting, where you're splitting, you know, people in their family, where one is idealized and the other person's devalued. So sometimes in a narcissistic home where there's dynamic involved, you then may have an identified golden child. So you have to be careful, because how does a golden child then look like later in life? They're trying to meet everyone else's needs. They feel like love is conditional, and they have no other way to just try to meet someone's needs, and not able to have now their own identity that is developed over time. So we really have to be careful around that. So those are the components with regards to that. So let's look at another breakdown with what it looks like to be in a home where you are raised in a home where there is a narcissistic parent. You know, weirdly enough, we all have some parts of that where we could almost kind of connect with, but there are people really, you know, their experiences around this is something that they are not aware of. It's somewhere like being interacting with a narcissistic person is just super normal. It's all that they know, and they don't have anything else. So there's this desire for this strong emotional attachment. And here you are trying to put aside everything that you need, any boundaries, any red flags that you notice later, you know, in the future with your partners, because you're now trying to meet this person's needs. So when you are raised in a home when there's a narcissist, you know, it feels like you maybe are never have enough attention, right? Or maybe sometimes more attention is given towards you. You feel like maybe sometimes you are the inferior and your parent is superior. Sometimes you'll hear that they're saying that, well, I did all these things for you, so you need to just be perfect as much as possible. And so you are having this extra pressure in order for you to show up in a way that is not possible. And so you want to be able to be intentional how that is impacting your relationship as much as possible. So here we are. We're going to look a little bit more in terms of the breakdown. Stay tuned on the Mind, Body, and Spirit Show.
Dr. Agathe Pierre-Louis is one of the top clinical psychologists in Orange County, and she will be your guide to healing and creating a positive relationship with family, friends, and coworkers. Confusion and emotional difficulty with self-esteem, parenting, or moving forward? Then contact Dr. Pierre-Louis, who will guide you in making the right decisions to build a life healthy in mind, body, and spirit. To make an appointment or for more information, visit byembracetherapy.com.
Tune in every Saturday at 11 a.m. for Free Speech with Stephen Keeter, where you can voice your opinion, express your ideas, comment, or make suggestions on the topic du jour, right here on Radio Worth Listening To.
Tune in every Saturday at 8 a.m. for Horseplay with me, Jimmy Cassidy,
of the Clover Stables,
boarding, riding lessons,
and how to take life by the reins.
Radio Worth Listening To.
WTBQ-GHT Weather.
A beautiful day in store with maybe a few pop-up showers, but mostly dry in the low to mid-70s. Tonight, some clouds and mainly clear mid-upper 40s. Tomorrow, a seasonable day, sun and clouds. Maybe a shower or storm in the afternoon, 70 to 75. Saturday evening, partly cloudy, upper 40s. And another chance at some scattered showers and storms on Sunday, again in the low to mid-70s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm WeatherWorks meteorologist Michael Prianti.
WTBQ. Hello, everyone. You are listening to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Show. I am your host, Agathe Pierre-Louis. I am talking about narcissistic personality disorders or people who have narcissistic traits. And so we have some questions coming in already. And this person says here, do narcissists know that they are narcissists? That's a pretty cool question. For me, I would say that a narcissist, because of all that we know and the negative perspective that the world knows in terms of that identity, what it means, they're not going to say, hi, my name is Deborah and I'm a narcissist. Or they're not going to say, hi, my name's Jimmy. I believe that I have these narcissistic traits. Maybe in therapy, where it's pretty safe to be able to say that, but I don't think they're going to say that out loud. But I do believe, though, for people who may have the trait versus the personality, like I said before, if we're able to say, here are the five things that, do you do this? Do you do this? Do you do this? And it's like, okay, do you maybe sometimes manipulate others in order to make you feel better? Do you sometimes highlight someone's esteem, low self-esteem to make you feel better? Do you sometimes only think about you and no one else? A narcissist will say yes to those things, because they're talking about maybe a particular behavior or action. So they'll be able to acknowledge it when you break down the different behaviors, but it is unlikely that you're going to have someone to say, oh yes, hi, I am a narcissist. So I hopefully if you understand. So the only way you're able to do that, and I was working with a client recently, and I had given her maybe like something for her to look at, you know, how do you know you're in a relationship with a narcissist? And she asked some questions to him, and he said yes to all those questions. And when she finally asked that last question, do you believe you're a narcissist? He's like, no, I'm not one. And so that's something for her to be mindful of. All right. So here's another question comes in. This person says, in my community, my priest walks in like a king to our family events. I never really noticed it until my boyfriend pointed it out to me when we attended a wedding ceremony. He patiently waits to be served. Is it so ironic to watch? I don't know why they get the attention. I'm sorry. I don't know why they get the attention so much. I don't know. You're asking me if this particular priest who's in your family is a narcissist. I think people who are pastoral or religious rabbi, position, there is a position of authority. And there's that, okay, my goodness, they're so close to like God or deity, or they know so much or have so much wisdom, and they do impart a lot of wisdom. And so there's this confidence that maybe they show up with, and with that, people maybe fall in line. So I wouldn't necessarily say because this person's a priest, that means that they are, but also to that people's behaviors in terms of falling in line and kind of like giving them what they need, maybe just cultural or just the expectation. So I think most people usually look at someone who in a spiritual realm where they're the ones who are leaders, pastors or priests or rabbi or other denomination, that they are kind of leaders, that they usually get people who, you know, serve them and take care of them and really validate them in some way in their position. So I guess that's all I have to say around that. So this person says here, is it appropriate to confront head on a person who was or acts entitled? You know, it's always great to talk about confronting someone. But before you do that, I definitely want to encourage you to identify what it is that you want at the end of the conversation, right? What is it that you want to be able to get from the conversation? So be clear what your goals are, and then remind yourself, who are you dealing with, right? Someone is super entitled, and maybe they see that the world revolves around them. In you confronting them, you have to be intentional that, or be aware that they're likely are not going to say, oh, wait, I get what you mean. So if you're going in with that intention, hoping that you might get that from someone who's super entitled, then you might be disappointed. So just be clear about what the intentions are in confronting someone. Know who you're dealing with and that you're not going to get some validation or an agreement. But if you're going in hopes to just set boundaries and let them know, I see you, or I see that you're entitled and I don't like that, and you know, it's not going to work for me, then by golly, go ahead and do that. All right. So before we go into any more questions, I want to be able to go to this is like, what type of people are attracted, right? In answering a question like, am I in a relationship with a narcissist? Well, you might find yourself really having a pattern where you're now engaging in a relationship with this particular person or people with this type of personality. And sometimes that happens unbeknownst to you. You're not aware of it. And then suddenly, like, wow, you take a step back, you go to therapy, and your therapist helps you analyze the characteristics of all the partners you've had and why it's not working. And so then you find yourself, wow, I seem to be really connecting to a lot of people who have this particular personality trait. And like I said, you are at risk either becoming someone who has this particular personality trait as being a narcissist, because if you had your parents who gave you a lot of attention and you didn't have to follow any rules, the world was your oyster, you did anything and everything you want and no consequences, or the other person who fully experienced a full abandonment, rejection from their parents that were not available. So you could either become the victim or the narcissist in this way. But narcissist behaviors feel normal. So if you find yourself attracted to narcissists all the time, it may be because that's what it is for you. Like, it feels normal because it feels like home. And I sometimes refer this to having like a weighted blanket. It's heavy. You got it. You understand. It's like, oh, it's uncomfortable, but it feels home and it's comforting in a weird way. And so that's something that you have to be aware of. And so that is something else. You believe that your feelings and needs don't matter, right? Again, it all depends on the parenting and the messaging that you have to suppress your feelings, sacrificing them in order for you to please others. You tend to put people first all the time. You know, there's something beautiful about being empathetic and putting people first, but you can't ever forget yourself. So if you find that you're forgetting yourself, that's not healthy. Again, coming from that golden child experience, if you've been in a home where there are narcissistic parents, you find yourself doing some people-pleasing behaviors where people-pleasers, they get their self-worth by constantly helping other people. You have to be careful. Even providers, clinicians, you know, people in the helping field, sometimes we have to be careful that our identity, our self-worth is not attached to being helpful to people. And that's the only place you get your sense of identity. And so because of that, a narcissist, this works for them because they want to be pleased. So you have to really, that's where that balance and dance comes from in regards to that. Another component of why you attract narcissist personality trait partners is that you're always seeking approval of others. And so that is, they like to have power and control. And so when you have a mate that is seeking that and you're now seeking their approval, it actually works. And you have to be careful, because normally it feels like, oh, it's kind of like pretty cool. And I have to tell you, most relationships that start with folks who are narcissists, it's actually pretty cool. Like, they're paying attention to you there. And it's really over time that now the light begins to show. And of course, there's usually red flags very early on, but you notice it much later in life. I was speaking to a client just recently, and she talked about being in a relationship with this partner. And her father said, you know, you're always looking for those fixer uppers. And so, you know, so she identified, and I identified with her, that she seems to be picking people who are really needing some fixing. And so sometimes you may find someone who's a drug addict or a gambler or who's struggling with life. But here you are trying to fix people. And if you are, then you're going to find someone who's going to need fixing, that's going to need that intention. The idea of being unlovable and worthless is another area where you have to be careful. If that is perspective that you have of yourself, then you may be at risk for you to then be at risk of where you might maybe attract a narcissist person. If you're an empathetic person, I mean, granted, honestly, I'm an empathetic person. Just because you're empathetic, it doesn't mean that you might possibly attract. You just have to be careful, because you could be empathetic and you have that empathy or all these other characteristics that are beautiful. If you engage in a relationship with someone who's healthy, they're not going to use that against you. So that's why you have to be careful. So just saying it doesn't necessarily mean to be true. Being an empathetic person and now being engaged in a relationship with someone who is narcissistic. That's how empathy hurts against you. Someone who has low self-esteem, again, they're very much at risk for that. Again, like I said, someone who denies their needs. And so you have to really be careful how to do that. So I'm going to share with you how to stop attracting these narcissists in your life. But before I do that, I want to get to some of the questions that are coming up. So this person says here, when my son was 5, I remember feeling that he had such an outgoing personality. When he was 14, he thought he was not shy. When he was 20, I felt he was fearless. Now at 28, I think he is really just self-absorbed. The entitled part of his personality really emerges the most when he's in public and knows that he's being seen. Okay, interesting. Interesting breakdown, though. You said he's 14, your son is shy. 20, he was fearless. And at 28, he's self-absorbed. All right. Well, you know, I have to say, we're saying that people who are entitled and they are self-absorbed, what kind of home are they coming from? And that parenting style that you engaged in. And so that's how your son is. And so if he is, I wonder how you're engaging with him and knowing that. Sometimes that could be like a little bit pushes you away, you know, even if it's your own child. So you have to be mindful in terms of who you are and what kind of parenting style that you showed up with. Or maybe now from our conversation today, you could say to your son, look, this is what I learned. I overindulged you. I gave you too much. I didn't really give you enough consequences. And I said yes to everything for you. And for that, I see that you have this sense of entitlement. And I know that my parenting led to that. And is this working for you? So as a parent, you notice this as you're with your child, you could find a way for you to be able to support them in some way in your awareness, knowing that maybe part of your parenting kind of helped shape that entitlement. So we're looking at your son, but also to where I want to encourage you for you to look at yourself as well and see where you can make some changes. So here is this other question here before we get to how to stop attracting narcissists. Do you think having a certain number of online friends and social media can affect how your sense of entitlement develops? Interesting question. I'm going to have to think about that. Do you think having a certain number of online friends and social media can affect your sense of entitlement? I don't know if I would say that. I think if you may have to have some entitlement already, and a certain number of social media posts or people who are maybe kind of, are you wondering, or is it the likes are you referring to? I mean, this question, I don't know. So I'm asking you, not that you're going to be able to answer me, but I just wonder if it's with regards to likes. If you're referring to likes, then you definitely have someone who may have a sense of entitlement or a grandiose and like to be validated. And those likes then become where something that they're looking to pursue in order to now make them feel themselves feel better. So there has to be a seed, and whatever nurturing or nature that is happening, or nature is a seed, but nurturing environment then now evokes or develop a personality over time, or reinforcement of a particular trait. So here we are. Hopefully I was able to answer that question. Stay tuned. We'll be back and talking about how to stop attracting them.
Dr. Agathe Pierre-Louis is one of the top clinical psychologists in Orange County, and she will be your guide to healing and creating a positive relationship with family, friends, and coworkers. Confusion and emotional difficulty with self-esteem, parenting, or moving forward? Then contact Dr. Pierre-Louis, who will guide you in making the right decisions to build a life healthy in mind, body, and spirit. To make an appointment or for more information, visit byembracetherapy.com.
This is Barbara Martinez inviting you to tune in every Friday at 12 noon for Business Connects. Join me each week to hear about exciting new vendors at Emporium Square in Middletown, a 21st century way to shop, right here on Radio Worth Listening To.
This is attorney Bob Gruhulik of the law firm Beatty & Gruhulik, the lawyer guy. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 noon for the latest legal advice and tips. We're taking calls and giving answers to all your legal questions. That's every Tuesday at 12 noon on Radio Worth Listening To.
WTBQ.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Show, and we are talking about narcissism, narcissistic personality traits, and how much we see it in our environment, and really what to be careful of, and some of the characteristics that you yourself have to pay attention to in order to ensure that you're not attracting them as much as you used to. So this is something that there's something you could do, right? I think it's always important for us to really know and be aware that we are ourselves empowered. And with knowledge, with awareness, you can make a change. So it's not like, why do they always pick me? Well, you are part of the conversation in terms of you are picking them as well too. So it is not just them, but also too, there's a role that you're playing. So I want to empower you that if you are in a relationship where it's unhealthy, this is easier said than done. And I'm going to tell you this. I know it's easier said than done because there's so many reinforcing factors that make it so. But ultimately, you have one life. All right. So I want to share with you before I go into how to stop. But here are some signs that you're dating or in a relationship with a narcissist. Okay. Like I said earlier, they are extremely charming. They are charming. There's a charm that we have. And again, this might be around the pro-social and the grandiose narcissist, where you see that charm that comes in. Maybe not so much with someone who is the antisocial narcissist or a vulnerable narcissist, because that's not the particular factors that they use in order to gain. So you have to be careful. And I got to tell you that plenty of people come in, but like, he was so sweet and nice. I mean, honestly, even myself, as I'm listening to a client, sometimes I'm able to say in my head, like, ooh, okay, this person sounds like they have a particular trait. But oftentimes, based on what the client tells me, I believe them. Like, this person seems to be so charming and loving and supportive. And it's like, wow, that's wonderful. You're dating and your help, and he or she is, right? And then over time, the traits kind of develop. So this is where we have to be on a lookout, because that charm, that loving presentation, and them seeking validation, and they're full of energy and looking, and they seem to have such strong personality. So that pulls people in. But over time, the spots show up. Another way that you know you're in a relationship with someone who's like that, they hog the conversation talking about how great they are all the time. They're always turning the conversation back to them, no matter what is going on, over and over again. They feed off compliments as much as possible. These people, they lack empathy. They sometimes don't have long-term relationships because they actually get found out. And so they find themselves where they are in short-term relationships all the time. One of the questions that came up a little bit before I was looking through the commercial, it said, do narcissists normally hook up with people more, or they usually have more hookups? Interesting, right? That's a pretty cool question. So I would say the chances are probably yes, but not guaranteed, right? Because if you're seeking validation all the time, maybe you get bored and go on to the next person, next person, next person. But then you might have those who are maybe the vulnerable and the antisocial narcissists. They might then find themselves where they're now in a relationship and they're now exercising power and control. There's those intermittent reinforcements, and now they are in that relationship for quite some time. So it varies depending on the type of narcissist that you handle and deal with. Of course, all of us have heard about gaslighting. It's literally saying like, yesterday they said the sky was green. And then today you said, you said yesterday the sky is green. And the person was like, no, I didn't. I didn't say that. There's a recording. And the person will still say, no, I didn't say that. Make you feel like you're the one who's not well, right? That you're quote unquote crazy. And so that gaslighting is a component where they're really manipulating, and it really falls under that emotional abuse that we talk about with domestic violence, the dating violence. So you might have someone who not consistently they're pick on you, right? They're picking on you, they're bullying you, and that's their way of being fed. If they highlight your negative or whatever it is that's not strong in your perspective, then they are going to then focus on them as much as possible. One component that I've seen over and over again, that they dance around defining the relationship. The relationship doesn't have a defined, like we are partners, we're boyfriend, we're girlfriend, we're partners together. Sometimes that doesn't happen. And they think they're always right and they never want to apologize. And last two things is that they panic when you try to break up with them. Sometimes this is where you see that victimization. And when you show them you're really done, then they're willing to lash out. So those are some characteristics that you are in a relationship with someone who has a narcissistic trait. So this question says here, I would love it if you would tell my daughter who is listening right now that you should not trust or date a person who is self-obsessed with getting what he wants. In intimate situations, he would swindle you into doing things you would never agree to do in the first place. I have dated in my lifetime, and the self-absorbed ones are amongst the worst. Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that your daughter is listening. And I mean, self-obsessed, we use all these words differently, but I have to tell you, it's whoever's writing this, and I don't know if this is a mom or a father about your daughter, it is not easy because how long were they in a relationship together? How long are particular cycles or patterns of reinforcement behaviors are used? How often tactics are used, which I think our time is really short. So I'm going to having to maybe do a show just on tactics. There's several tactics that can be used that we have to be alerted on. And so if you are this young woman who's listening in, I would encourage you to do some more work to find out what's really happening in a relationship. If you feel safe to be in that relationship, if you feel regretful whenever you engage in a particular activity that you wouldn't necessarily do so, and if you were to set boundaries, which is really one big test of being in a relationship with a narcissist, is that if you set boundaries, and are they willing to try to at least compromise or come your side? If it's always their way and you never get to have a say, it's something for you to really truly be concerned about. So this person says here, this might be one of my two last questions. I once dated a woman in her early 20s who couldn't stop taking selfies for Instagram. I love these questions. I was 31 at the time. When I told her that the behavior was borderline narcissistic, she completely lost it and said, I just didn't get it because I'm an older man. I like looking at the view, but didn't understand the process that it took to maintain the profile. Interesting. Needless to say, I broke it off. It just turned me off. Sometimes when things are not working out for us, we need to choose to leave. I'm not sure why you shared with me with regards to the selfies. You know, it's interesting because this time in life with regards to the Instagram and Facebook and whatever else that is available in terms of social media platform, everyone's doing selfies. So I wouldn't necessarily say that someone's taking selfies, especially a 20-year-old is taking selfies, that means that they are a narcissist, right? Again, we use that word pretty loosely, and so we have to be careful how to use it. But I want to say kudos for you, though, having found a relationship that didn't work for you. Seems like there was about 11 years of difference, so that could make different generation and how you see the world and what's important and not important for you. So I would say, just because someone's taking a selfie, and by the way, I sent my husband a couple before we started the show today, and I don't believe I'm a narcissist, but doing selfies doesn't mean that you're a narcissist. So that's something to think about. Let's see, I have time for maybe one more question. Is there such a thing as a shy narcissist? Well, that's pretty interesting that you said that. Well, for all the four categories I identified, if there be a grandiose, antisocial, pro-social, and vulnerable, I would say if you would say maybe someone who's a shy narcissist would probably fall under the vulnerable narcissist. And so that's what you have in terms of really being kind of withdrawn and quiet and possibly even using their feeling like no one loves me and no one cares for me, and but using that as a manipulative undertone in order for them to get validated and having their needs met and for them to then be the center of attention. In a few weeks, maybe I'll do a show called Where Someone is in Love with Their Tragedy. It's interesting how that looks like. And so that might be something that might connect us later. This other person says here, are narcissists usually attracted to public jobs like politics or acting? I personally feel that all politicians are somehow narcissistic in nature. Good question. I have to tell you, I was reading your article in preparation for the show, and it talked about kids who are presenting with narcissistic traits early on. They normally are leaders in their classrooms. They're leaders in their classrooms, and you might find them to be politicians because you have to have somewhat an inflated sense of ego to make people to believe that, you know, for them to follow your values or whatever it is in terms of your leadership and your perspective and what works for you. So I would say that you could find people with those particular traits, again, ultimately on a one-on-one basis. How does that person treat you? We're not going to only focus on people's jobs and what they do for a living, but ultimately, though, on a particular basis, on a one-on-one particular basis, how are they are presenting? And so we'll probably be doing a show soon with regard to the tactics, what it looks like, a little bit more deeper in that regard. And so that will be sometime later in the future. But I want to share with you maybe about five things you need to do to try to stop attracting narcissists in your relationship, which I identified already, which I say this for everything, awareness. You have to have awareness. Set firm boundaries. Work on developing a solid foundation of confidence, being able to identify those red flags and avoid anyone who's trying to control your behaviors. So that was pretty fast. So at one point I will be able to come back to this conversation and really share with you a little bit more how that shows up. But for now, our time is up. And of course, I always have some great quotes for you. So here we go. Teach your children gratefulness. Do all you can to deliver them from our culture's poisonous entitlement mentality. And this is by Randy Alcorn. This person says here, Mark Manson, the deeper the pain, the more helpless we feel against our problems and the more entitlement we adopt to compensate for those problems. So that's pretty interesting. How many narcissists does it take to screw in a light bulb? None. They don't use light bulbs. They use gaslighting. That was a good one, right? Sometimes breaking out of a certain mentality is like planning a prison break. You can't just go for it and hope for the best. It requires strategy. And last quote, empathy is seeing with the eyes of another, listening with the ears of another, and feeling with the heart of another. That's all we have for you today. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And I'll be back next week on the Mind, Body, and Spirit Show.